Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Many communities around the state are holding events, commemorations, and days of service in honor of the day. The African American Museum of Iowa, now celebrating its 25th year, is offering free admission for visitors that day to come and learn about African American Museum in the state. With me right now is Lanisha Castle, Executive Director of the African American Museum of Iowa in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Lanisha.
Yes, good morning. Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Also, Felicity Wolf is here. She is curator at the museum. Hello, Felicity.
Hello. Good morning, Charity. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you both for being here today. And when Iowa students learn about the civil rights movement in school, which, of course, many students are working on right now, this is something that schools love to focus on this time of year. Most of what they learn about happened far away, mostly in the southern United States. What do you feel, Lanisha, I'll let you go first, what do you feel we need to be teaching kids about the civil rights movement right here in Iowa?
Oh, I do think it's important, and I think it's probably not being taught enough, and so I'm excited that schools, districts, and the state is taking it on to make sure that our students are educated. And I think it's important to know that Iowa had a part in the civil rights movement. And I think when students and adults who come through our museum, they are able to see that we were making strides in Iowa. It's important to know that history.
And Felicity, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I think Lanisha is absolutely right. You know, they kind of get an overview in school. They only have so much time to teach the highlights. But we do get a lot of school groups in that can get a deeper focus on it, on what it was about. And also, as Lanisha said, that things were happening in Iowa. This was not just, happening in the South. Things were happening here as well.
Lanisha, what do you consider really to be the mission of the African American Museum of Iowa? What are you hoping that visitors can learn when they come there?
Sure. Well, obviously, our mission is to preserve, to exhibit, to teach. We're hoping that people will visit the museum and walk away with a sense of pride in some of the things that Iowa has been a part of throughout history. I mean, certainly there are hard issues, hard things to learn as well. But there are some things I think that people are surprised about when they come into our facility, learn about things that Iowa was doing throughout history in terms of race relations, civil rights, all those things. And so I hope people walk away with a better understanding of where we are today based on what history has shown us.
What do you think some of the things are that are most surprising to Iowans when they visit the museum?
I think that one thing that I have heard a lot of surprise about is maybe the Underground Railroad, that Iowa was a part of that. And I'm sure Felicity's probably heard a lot more things that people are surprised about. She's been there a lot longer, and because of her in-depth knowledge about the exhibits.
Felicity?
Yes, I think people take away different things. I don't know that I could point to a specific thing. Certainly the Underground Railroad pieces. Another more uncomfortable thing, which we have in the exhibit now, is that the KKK was very prevalent in Iowa. And I think that surprises a lot of people. I know it surprised me when I researched it. There's a lot of information that, I mean, I don't even know yet, that gets uncovered all the time. And this is something that, you know, either people knew, and it's a very uncomfortable topic, but it was alive and well here, too. A lot of things that are on national levels, people say, oh, well, that didn't happen in Iowa. Well, I'm sure we weren't part of that. It happened here. It may have been a smaller scale. It maybe didn't gain national attention, but it was here, and things were just as relevant.
I think, and I'm guilty of this myself, I think we love the stories about Iowa that demonstrate the moments when we were a progressive state, when we had historic firsts, when good things happened, when we were demonstrating maybe an earlier acceptance of equality. We like to think we were ahead of the curve, but do you find that it's hard for people who come in to accept some of the ugly things, the other important stories that you need to share?
Right. I think that they do, and I think that's hard for any of us. We don't want to feel that, you know, areas we've come from have had ugly pasts, but that's history, and that's, you know, people are who they are, and it's something that what we try to do is, yes, we do like to talk about the wonderful things and progress that's been made by African Americans in the state, but you're not doing a justice to the history if you don't also talk about things that are uncomfortable and things that happened, because when you do, you start a dialogue, and what happens is you're able to kind of understand why issues, contemporary issues that come up, do come up, because this stuff doesn't get talked about, and it kind of stays underground, and by bringing it out and talking about it, it kind of helps shape your present view.
You were alluding earlier, Lanisha, to working with school groups. In addition to having school groups come into the museum, you guys also have small exhibits that you loan out to schools who want to do educational projects with the museum. Can you give me an idea of some of the things that you loan out to schools?
Sure. So specific to schools would be our traveling trunks, and those are lessons or curriculum with activities, lesson plans, and maybe even items that teachers can borrow or educators can borrow, parents borrow them, homeschoolers, to learn more about specific topics throughout history. In addition to that, we have our traveling exhibits, which more than likely have been exhibits that have been created after a temporary exhibit closes up for the season. So the traveling exhibits are 3 to 5 panels, floor panels that are about 6 feet tall, and that we actually ship those all around the state and even outside the state, and those are also topical, ranging from Iowa civil rights to African Americans in the military, and a number of topics. So those are really popular, and we are actually trying to get them duplicated so we can have more available to meet the demand that we're experiencing.
And if teachers, if schools want to get involved in that way, how do they contact you?
Sure. On our website at blackiowa.org, we have a page for youth programming and adult programming. So those features, those exhibits are available to anyone.
Tell me a little bit, Felicity, about one of the exhibits that you have at the museum right now. It's called If Objects Could Talk.
Correct. That is our current temporary exhibit. Some of the examples I was speaking about are in that. It's really the first time that we've made the decision, actually, as a staff, to bring our collection to the forefront. Here are some, you know, items that we have, just trying to focus on what we do here, why it's important to have these objects, these stories, these histories, you know, really making history and our place in the state relevant.
Tell me about some of the exhibit or the objects that are on exhibit right now. Are these all objects that have been collected from Iowans?
That is correct. I'm trying to think if there's one little exception in there. As I mentioned about the Klan hood, often we get items like that as anonymous donations, so we're never exactly sure if it came from Iowa or not, but that may not exactly be the point of it. It serves as a wonderful example.
Right.
Certainly, it really provokes an emotional response. So that's really the main point of them. But yes, everything else has been donated by Iowans. We have a wonderful, speaking of the MLK holiday. I have a portion in the exhibit about Charles Toney, who was a huge civil rights activist in Davenport in the Quad Cities. And he helped to found the Catholic Interracial Council branch in Davenport. And they were huge in civil rights, and it was also at St. Ambrose as well. But they had actually brought Martin Luther King Jr. in to receive the Pachamentaris Peace and Freedom Award. This was in 1962. I'm sorry, 1965. And Martin Luther King actually came to Davenport. He has this wonderful speech that actually had been recorded, and we received it as a donation. And it is, you can actually play it in the exhibit.
Wow.
And it's just wonderful to, you know, you can talk about MLK and all the wonderful things he's done. But it's very different when you can actually hear his voice and the way he speaks. And it really just kind of sucks you into what he's saying. And you really, it just gives you another level of involvement and understanding and appreciation for what the man did.
You have a lot of items on display, some personal items, just very normal, I guess, kinds of things that people would have had in their homes. One of the items that you have, you put up a picture on your website, is of a topsy-turvy doll. Tell me what that is.
Yes, the topsy-turvy doll. These dolls, and it's kind of difficult to explain, but basically they're two dolls in one. You basically have two dolls attached at the waist. And usually they have a very long dress or skirt, and the skirt conceals one doll or the other. So you're basically playing with one at the same time. These topsy-turvy dolls were very popular end of the 19th century up through about 1940 or so. But what's kind of interesting about them is often one side was a black doll and one side was a white doll. And It's really interesting that no one knows exactly where they came from. It is believed that enslaved women in the South at the time would make them, and it's just interesting because it's, you know, it's a doll that gets played with that the people had in their homes. There were sewing patterns to make them; they were incredibly popular. But another way to look at it is, It's a type of racist imagery, because often the black doll was not equal, both in the way it was dressed.
It was dressed as a servant or a slave.
Sometimes it was a mammy type of figure, very plain dress, sometimes a handkerchief or a scarf on the head, where the white doll had, you know, a dress with a lot of adornments and things like that. And it's just, I don't think it's something, people have probably had them in their homes forever, and lots of people have. But to just think of it in a little different way, that, you know what, that this is not exactly, you know, something that's a very pure toy. But it was a way that people were socialized to view white versus black.
Right. So a simple child's toy that
right.
was reinforcing our cultural structure, this
That's
systemic
exactly right.
racism.
So it's not a simple toy.
So there's also a glove that you put a picture of up on your website. Tell me about
yes.
that glove.
The glove was worn by an African-American woman who came to Cedar Rapids to work for Wilson Foods. To work in the meatpacking plant, Cedar Rapids, and she had to wear that glove. She actually was involved in the butchering of hogs and had to wear that glove, which only consists of a thumb and the first two fingers, and it's a chainmail, heavy chainmail glove, and she had to wear that so she wouldn't cut herself on the line. But it's like you think, oh, what is this glove? You know, this is so strange. It only has so many fingers, but... You know, as you read the text we have in the exhibit and you look at the glove and you understand that this glove is really just a symbol of Wilson Food in general, their impact in Cedar Rapids. She was also a union steward. And for an African-American woman to be working, number one, it was the hog kill floor is actually what they called it. It to be working side by side with men. I mean, we're talking early 60s, 70s, and she actually became a union steward. That's a huge movement for, you know, women's place in the workplace, African Americans in the workplace, and it also symbolizes unions and labor practices. So it is actually a multifaceted object.
Certainly something that gives you a lot to think about. And that exhibit
Correct.
Is on display at the museum through this coming summer, right?
Right. It will be done the end of July. And then we will put up our new one, which is all about early African-American migration to Iowa.
And are you still collecting items from African-American families or families that have a history in Iowa?
We do. We are always on the lookout for things specifically related to the history of African-Americans in Iowa. That is our main mission, and we rely on donations. We don't have the budget to actively seek out, so everything we have received is donations. So, yes, we are always on the lookout. You can actually check the website, blackiowa.org. You can go under the collections tab there, and there are some guidelines just offering what we're interested in and how you can contact us about donating.
Now, I mentioned that there's free admission to the museum on Monday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. for Martin Luther King Day. You're also part of a celebration that will be at the Cedar Rapids Public Library, an MLK Day job fair, and also a showing of the movie Hidden Figures. Lanisha, this is a very big year for the museum. It's your 25th anniversary. So throughout the year, are you going to be having a lot of special events?
We will be having quite a few events to celebrate our 25 years in existence. So we're excited about that. We'll have a birthday party in April. We're going to launch a music series beginning in the second quarter of the year. And we have lots of exciting things coming up down the pike. I hope everybody will stay active on our website and our Facebook page and other social media platforms to see what we have coming down the line. But we're excited about celebrating and look forward to sharing that with the community.
Absolutely. And we will certainly stay up to date with you throughout your 25th anniversary year. And Lanisha, we have just about 30 seconds here before we go. If people do visit the museum on Monday and maybe bring their kids along with them, what do you want people to take away from the experience?
We want people to, especially kids, to see that learning is fun and learning about the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and others who have made an impact in Iowa and across the nation, that it's a part of their own legacy. And we have lots to be proud of in Iowa, and that they would hopefully participate in the activities that we have available on site that day.
Well, Lanisha Castle, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Lanisha Castle, Executive Director of the African American Museum of Iowa, and Felicity Wolf, thank you.
Thank you.
Curator at the African American Museum of Iowa in Cedar Rapids. Again, free admission on Monday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. They're also part of the MLK Day job fair and movie at the Cedar Rapids Public Library from 4 to 7:30. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.